الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدعاء مخ العبادة. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
My most respected elders and beloved brothers, we find that our lives in this world is beset with difficulties and challenges. No matter who a person may be, what background he may come from, what language he may speak, every person in some way or the other is going through some difficulty, some problem, some hardship, some challenge in his life. And we find that this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. That so long as a person has life, he will face some difficulties, he will face some problems, some challenges. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in the Quran promises us this. That لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. That most definitely you will be tested in your lives and in your wealth. In another place in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. That most definitely we will test you. The lam and the noon is for emphasis. That it's not going to be by chance. Definitely, most definitely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to test you. بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. With a little fear. وَالْجُوعِ. A little hunger. وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ. Loss of lives, loss of wealth. وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Loss of produce. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the end that glad tidings be to those who adopt patience. So these difficulties, these hardships, these challenges are definitely going to come our way. But respected friends and elders, what we need to realize as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that every problem, every difficulty, every challenge is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. In Quran Allah says that no difficulty comes upon any person except that it is with the permission of Allah. And it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can remove that difficulty. Outwardly it may seem as though the problem is coming from where our eyes see it to be coming from. For a person's boss, his employer, his student, his teacher, his wife, his spouse. Outwardly it may seem as though the problem is coming from there. But in reality, every single problem and difficulty is coming to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of our gunas and our sins. So if a person has this realization, this understanding that every single problem, any single difficulty that I'm experiencing is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that there is none that can remove that difficulty except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Allah says in Quran, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ. If Allah has to afflict you with any harm, any difficulty, then there is none that can remove it except Him. So if a person has this realization that every difficulty is from Allah, every challenge is from Allah, every problem is from Allah, and only Allah can remove it, then the natural response to any difficulty will be for a person to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that is the source, that is where the problem is coming from. We find that the disbelievers, because they do not believe in Allah, when they are faced with any difficulty, any challenge, any hardship, then immediately their attention turns towards the means, towards the things of this world. And we don't blame them for this, because they do not believe in Allah. So they turn towards the means. And when the means have failed them, when the means are exhausted, then they have nowhere else to turn to. But we find that somebody who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that every problem is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So together with adopting the means, we will turn our reliance and our attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can help us and assist us. You find that this believer, he is looking for security. All he has is the asbab and the means. He will have a gun, he will have an alarm system, burglar guard, security guard, bodyguard. If he is looking for security, because this is all that he has. He is looking for shifa and cure, he is sick. He will go to the doctor, he will go to the hospital, he will take medication. Because this is all that he has been taught. But you find on the other hand, respected friends and elders, a believer, one who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will adopt the means as well. But his reliance and his tawakkul will be upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An example is given, two students studying in the same institution, one is a believer, one is a disbeliever, both are writing an examination. We find that the disbelieving student, he will study as much as he can. He will study as hard as he can because that's all that he can do. But we find that a believer, one who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows that the outcome of this examination is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he will study to the best of his ability. But he knows that the outcome of this paper is in the hands of Allah, so he will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The morning of that examination, he will make sure he'll read his Fajr Salah with Jamaat in the masjid. He will read his Surah Yasin for that day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person who recites Surah Yasin in the beginning of the day, قُدِيَتْ حَوَائِجُهُ, his needs for that day will be fulfilled. Before the paper, he will give some sadaqah. He will recite two rakats of Nafil Salah. And then he will place his trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that through the barakat and the means of all these amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him successful in his examination. So respected friends and elders, there is a difference between a believer and a disbeliever. A believer, his hope, his reliance, his trust is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A disbeliever, he doesn't believe in Allah. So because of that, he will rely on the means. He will rely upon whatever asbab there are around, and he will place his trust and his reliance upon it. It shouldn't be such, as put friends and elders, as believers, that only when we've exhausted all the means, and the means have failed us, then only we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, believer first, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as believers, we are so fortunate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such means, by means of which we can find solution to our problems, not only of the hereafter, but our problems of dunya as well. And one such means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that of dua, supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to dua as a weapon of a believer. Just like how a weapon is used to attack the enemy, to defend a person, to repel any harm, any difficulty, in exactly the same way, dua is a means of repelling, warding away any harm and any difficulty from a person. And when we see in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anbiya alayhim wa salatu wa salam, any difficulty they face, immediately they will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through dua. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help came to them when they turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is an incident mentioned in Hayat al-Sahaba of a Sahabi by the name of Abu Mu'alik radiallahu anhu. As Anas radiallahu anhu narrates the incident, he says the Sahabi was a very pious Sahabi, like all other Sahaba radiallahu anhu, but this Sahabi used to exert himself in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was a businessman as well. So he used to trade in his own wealth, and others also used to invest in his caravans as well. So one day he was going out for some trade journey, trade mission of his, when all of a sudden he was intercepted by a thief, by a robber. And this robber demanded all his possessions, all his wealth that he had. But not only was he interested in taking the possessions of the Sahabi, he wanted to take the life of the Sahabi as well. So Sahabi pleaded with him that, spare my life, whatever possessions I have, you may have that, but keep me alive, spare my life. But we find that this person wasn't interested. So eventually the Sahabi makes one request to him, that okay, if you're going to take my life, but first give me permission to recite some salah, to make wudu, recite some salah, and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So permission was given. So the Sahabi, he makes his wudu, he recites four rakats of salah, and then he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these words, that Ya Wadudu, Ya Dal Arsh al-Majid, Ya Fa'ala lima yurid, As'aluka bi'izzatika allati la turam, wa mulkika allati la yudam, وبنورك الذي ملأ أركان عرشك أن تكفيني شر هذا اللص يا مغيث وأغثني يا مغيث وأغثني يا مغيث وأغثني. That Ya Wadud, O the most loving being, Ya Dhal Arsh al-Majid, O the owner of the majestic throne, Ya Fa'alan lima yurid, O the one who does as he wishes. أسألك بعزتك التي لا ترام, I ask you by your honor which cannot be imagined. وَمُلْكِكَ الَّتِي لَا يُضَامُ, your dominion, your kingdom that will not be destroyed. And by the nur that fills the pillars of your arsh, that you suffice me from the evil of this list, of this thief. As soon as the Sahabi finishes his salah, he finishes his dua, back, coming with a spear in his hand, and the rider thrusts the spear into the body of the thief. After this thief is killed, he is lying on the floor, this person comes towards the Sahabi radiallahu anhu and explains to him that who he is. He says that the first time he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, I am the angel of the fourth heaven. The first time he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was a rattle in the heavens. The doors of the heavens started to rattle. The second time there was a scream. And the third time I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asked Allah permission to come and assist you. And then this angel gave the Sahabi some glad tidings. He said to him, "The glad tidings be to you and for any person, whether he is in distress or not in distress. If he will make 4 rakats of salah, he will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using these words of dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help him." So respected friends and elders, the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that assisted Sahaba radiallahu anhu when they were in difficulties, when they were in problems, is the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will assist us when we will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. Remember, no problem, no difficulty is greater than Allah. Allah is greater than any difficulty. Allah wants us to turn towards Him in dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to us. We find the famous incident of Zakariya alayhi salam mentioned in Quran. Zakariya alayhi salam, Allah had entrusted him with the care of Hazrat Maryam radiallahu anha. Maryam radiallahu anha was the niece of the wife of Zakariya alayhi salam. So Zakariya alayhi salam, whenever he would enter into that prayer chamber of Maryam radiallahu anha in Baytul Muqaddas, he would find that there is already some sustenance, there is already some provision that had been provided for her. So he would ask Maryam radiallahu anha that, "Anna laki hada, where did you get this from?" And what was more amazing is that this was not any ordinary food that she was being given. She was being provided for fruits out of the season. So he would ask her out of surprise, "Anna laki hada, where did you get this from?" قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ Her response is to be that this is on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ Allah provides for whomsoever He wishes without any hisab, without any account. So when he saw the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّا Immediately Zakariya alayhi salam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Quran Allah mentions the different types of duas that he made. قَالَ رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبًا That, "Oh Allah, provide for me, grant me." You find at this time, Zakariya alayhi salam was approximately 120. Qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Allah provided for Maryam radiallahu anha fruits out of season. He regained his hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's like how Allah could have done something which is outwardly impossible. Similarly, Allah will be able to provide for him a child. So he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another place, in the beginning of Surah Maryam, Allah mentions another dua of Zakariya alayhi salam. That, "Qala Rabbi inni wahana al-'azmu minni." That, "Oh Allah, the bones in my body have become weak. Washta'ala ar-ra'su shayba." My head has turned white. "Walam akun bidu'aika Rabbi shaqiyya." But, "Oh Allah, I have never experienced any of my du'as to be unanswered. Oh Allah, accept my du'a." Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the du'a of Zakariya alayhi salam. In another place in Quran, Allah mentioned that the wife of Zakariya alayhi salam at this point was barren as well. So on one side, Zakariya alayhi salam is advanced in her age. On the other hand, the wife of Zakariya alayhi salam, she is barren, she is unable to conceive. But he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends glad tidings that, "Ya Zakariya, inna nubashiruka bi ghulam." That, "Oh Zakariya, we give you glad tidings of a son. Ismu Yahya, his name shall be Yahya. Lam naj'al lahu min qablu samia." Such a name that wasn't given to anyone else before. So respected friends and elders, if we have to analyze this from a worldly point of view, Zakariya alayhi salam advanced in his age. His wife also advanced in age and barren. It is impossible for such a couple to conceive. But respected friends and elders, when a person places his hope upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will make the impossible possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take a person out of any difficulty. That which a person didn't fathom, will ever happen, will ever take place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the barakat of dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to make dua. Ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'an. So many places in Quran, Allah is inviting us, Allah is encouraging us, then make dua to me and I will respond to you. Ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'an. Allah says, I respond to the dua of the one who supplicates towards me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ Allah is inviting us in Quran, make dua to me. In this world, the more a person asks from insan, the more angry he becomes with us. But Allah is the opposite. The more we don't ask from Allah, the more angry Allah becomes with us. مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْدَبْ عَلِيهِ That person who doesn't ask from Allah, Allah becomes upset with him. Every dua that a person makes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely answered. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one hadith that مَا مِن مُؤْمِنٍ يَدْعُو بِدَعْوَى لَيْسَ فِيهَا إِسْمٌ وَلَا قَطِيعَةُ رَحِيمٍ إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى ثَلَاثٍ That no believer makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him one of three things. As long as he doesn't make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the cutting off of any ties, or he doesn't make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything that is sinful, Allah will answer his dua in either one of three ways. Either يُعَجَّلُ لَهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him immediately that which he is asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or the second way is that some calamity that was meant to come to this person, instead of answering this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes that calamity, that hardship, that difficulty that was meant to come to this person. Or the third way is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will store the reward for this dua in the hereafter. To such an extent that when a person passes away, and he will see the great rewards that are stored for him in akhirat, apparently for all those du'as that went unanswered in this world, his desire and his wish will be if only all his du'as were unanswered. Because of the great rewards that he will see in the hereafter for all those du'as that he had made, which apparently went unanswered in this world. So every du'a, respected friends and elders, that a person makes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer him. In fact, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Allah continues to answer the dua of a person, ma lam yasta'jil, as long as he doesn't become hasty. Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked, O Rasulullah sallallahu, what is the meaning of becoming hasty? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person says that I've made dua and Allah is not answering my dua. Up till that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to answer the dua of a person. But when he becomes hasty, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't answer such a dua. So respected friends and elders, just like how any ibadah, any action of deen, there are some adab and some etiquette. Similarly, dua, asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are some adab and etiquette of dua. We find that once in Masjid al-Nabawi, a person came into the masjid and he began making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this person making dua, immediately Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remarked, that ajila hada, this person, he's being hasty, he's rushing. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called for this person. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to him how to make dua. That إِذَا صَلَّى أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَبْدَأْ بِتَحْمِيدِ رَبِّهِ ثُمَّ لْيُسَلِّ عَلِيهِ. Any one of you, when he wants to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then first he should begin by praising his Rabb. First he should begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the Salama bin Aqwa radiallahu anhu mentioned that most of the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to begin his dua, he used to begin with these words, Subhana Rabbi al-Aliyyil A'la al-Wahhab. This is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first, begin our dua by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, send durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many a times, unfortunately, we begin our dua by sending durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is incorrect. First comes the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then comes the right of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells the sahabi, ثُمَّ الْيَدْعُ بَعْدُ مَا شَاءَ. Thereafter make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afterwards for whatever you wish. So begin your dua by praising Allah. Send durood thereafter upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thereafter make whatever dua a person wants to make. Then after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if dua is made in this way, definitely Allah will answer his dua. We find that janaza salah is in fact a dua that we are making for the deceased person. And janaza salah has the exact same sequence as this. That a person, after the first takbir, he recites thana. What does thana mean? Praise. We are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka smuka wa ta'ala jadduk wa jalla thana'uk wa la ilaha ghiru. After the second takbir, a person recites durood Ibrahim. Durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the third takbir, then a person makes dua for the mayyit. So this is the adab and the etiquette of dua. And thereafter, another etiquette Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned is that udu'u Allah wa antum muqinoon bil ijaba. Then make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with full conviction that Allah is going to answer my dua. Wa inna Allah la yastajibu du'a'a min qalbin lahin. Allah doesn't accept a dua from a heart that is inattentive. Person is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't have this conviction in heart that Allah is going to answer his dua, he's not paying attention to his dua, such a dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not answer. So full yaqeen, conviction, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to answer my dua. And together with that, to have attentiveness in our dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and have this conviction and this yaqeen in our heart. And we'll end with this also. One is, we're making dua many a times for ourselves. But together with making dua for ourselves, to take out time and make dua for others as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that there is no person, believer, that makes dua for his brother in his absence. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed an angel already that is making ameen to this person's dua. And not just saying ameen, the angel is making dua for this person in return, that walaka bimisli, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant you the same. So respected friends and elders, daily we are taking our time to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us make dua for ourselves also, and let us make dua for others as well. Many a times when we're making dua for ourselves, we make dua for our dunya, for the things of our dunya, our difficulties, our problems of dunya, and we forget about our akhirah, we forget about our deen. Let us make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our dunya as well, but together with that, make dua for our akhirat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the du'as that he recite abundantly, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, that Allah grant us the goodness of this world, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا, and not forgetting the goodness of the hereafter as well, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So respected friends and elders, how we can take our time daily. Today being a Friday as well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that on a Friday there is a period of time, there is a sa'ah, that if a person has to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this time, if his dua coincides with this time, then definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer his dua. فِيهِ سَاعَةٌ لَا يُوَافِقُهَا عَبْدٌ مُسْلِمٌ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُسَلِّي يَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ فِيهَا خَيْرًا إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ إِيَّا. And majority of the muhaddithin of the opinion that this time is referring to the time before Maghrib Salah on a Friday. So let us take our time. Daily we're supposed to be making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this great opportunity, when du'as are most readily answered, let us make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua for ourselves, and make dua for the ummah at large. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.